Good morning. 7:32 a.m. on the Revenge of the Sith, May the 5th, 2016. Yesterday was an extremely frustrating day. The plumber was supposed to come to look at the sump pump. The sump pump, which I laughingly referred to as the bilge pump at Lowell Maru. It runs, clicks on, runs for about 25 seconds, clicks off, about every 5 minutes. Not really, it's closer to 10 minutes, it's like 8 to 10 minutes. It sometimes goes as long as 15. I don't hear it anymore. We've had it for so long, I don't hear it anymore. It doesn't bother me, it doesn't. I just don't hear it. It's like I don't hear the refrigerator click on. I don't hear the furnace run. It's just part of the background noise of the house. I don't hear it. My wife, on the other hand, hears it every single time it goes on, and it irks her. It grates on her nerves every single time. 6 times an hour, all day, every day. Getting to sleep is a challenge because it will wake her up. So I called the plumber Tuesday, and they said they would be out between 9 and 11 yesterday. So because of the timing yesterday, I couldn't really leave the house to get the walk in because of kid duty and taxis and breakfast and all the rest of the stuff. In hindsight, I should have gone when I got up at 5:30, because that was the only time I had to myself all day. The rest of the day I was taken up with waiting for the plumber and all the anxiety that comes with that. So 11 o'clock, no plumber, no call, no nothing. I called the plumbing company and said, do I have the wrong day? And they're saying no. I said, well, the plumber is supposed to be here between 9 and 11, and it's 11:15, and I haven't seen a plumber. And they apologized, and they said they'd get a plumber assigned right away. So sure enough, 5 minutes later, I get an email, plumber's assigned. And so we have to, 30, 40 minutes for them. Okay, so we wait. 12:05, I get another email, different plumber's assigned. Another 30, 40 minutes. At that point, I have to leave the house. I have to go out. I have to go pick up the kid from school, and I can't leave my wife to deal with the plumber because she doesn't deal with outside vendors ever. So I called and rescheduled for this morning. And we'll see. But the upshot was that I spent all day yesterday sitting in the living room waiting for the plumber to show up, figuring, oh, he's going to be here any minute, all morning long. So I couldn't walk. I didn't write anything yesterday. It was just... I just wanted to scream. So I'm walking this morning. I took the kid to school, got back about 7:15. I'm walking. I'm already over halfway. I'm walking. In other news, Quarter Share was adopted for the Book of the Month in the Space Opera fan group on Goodreads. They sent me a request for interview along with the questions. I sent that back right away. So yeah, I'm not too... I'm, you know, it's like, this is fine, it's wonderful, it's... I'm glad people are finding the book and enjoying it. I went and looked at the thread about it, and everybody's like, well, yeah, well, I'm going to read this. This is a great opportunity to read this again. And very few people who are reading it for the first time. Not too surprising, the book is relatively old at this point, even in text format. It's been out since 2010. So it's yeah, okay, fine. The podium version is on pre-order. We'll see how it works out. I'm not terribly optimistic. I'm not terribly... what's the word I want? I'm not quite sure. This is not going to be a significant revenue stream, I guess is what I'm saying. In spite of the fact that I keep getting more and more and more and more and more and more and more people asking for audiobook versions. And now the audiobook version is up, it's $25. I don't want to pay $25 for an audiobook version, you're going to give it away. It's like, it's not my audiobook anymore, I can't. 6.5 years before I get the rights back. I can't do anything with it, in audio. So I've been thinking about the masterclass, which is a week from Saturday. I talked last time about history. I think I need to talk about categories and subcategories, genres and subgenres. Spec fic, science fiction, fantasy, horror. And where does science fantasy fall in? Where does Star Wars fall? For that matter, where does Game of Thrones fall? Science fiction, yeah, I'm good with science fiction. I'm good with science fantasy. I don't think it's space opera. Wow, lilac season. Holy cow, that was... There's a big drift of lilacs hanging over the fence right there where I just walked by. It was lovely. The lilacs at the house are blooming as well. It's kind of a pain in the butt because, you know, my wife is olfactory sensitive to pleasant smells like flowers and incense and perfumes. But has no problem at all with cleaning fumes. Lysol, Clorox. So, genres, yeah. I'm trying to think I suppose what I should do is put together a list of the science fiction subcats on Amazon, and perhaps the fantasy subcats. Contemporary fantasy, oddly enough, I thought contemporary fantasy was a category. It's not. It is a search term, but it's not a category. It's not even one of the keyword canonicals. Monk post. So, I mean, we've got First Contact, we've got Space Opera, which, of course, is my favorite. Fantasy's got epic fantasy, it's got contemporary fantasy. It's not what they call it, though. What do they call it? Well, this paranormal, with its PNR branch, and there's science fiction with its SFR branch. So there's romance branches in both paranormal and science fiction. Is there a fantasy romance, or is that just romance? But I think that's probably something I want to talk about is, How do you put aspects? This is definitely something I do want to talk about now that I think about it. It's the mashup mentality. The idea that, well, people like robots and people like sea monsters, so we'll do Iron Giant Sea Monster. Iron Giant Nessie. No. The problem is that it's not... The fan base for that is not the union of the two fans. It's not the union of the two fan bases. It's the intersection. So the only people who are going to really want to read it are people who are fans of both giant robot science fiction and sea monsters. Because what it does is that it gives people an opportunity to discard the book, to push it away. Which doesn't mean you can't tell an Iron Giant story with a sea monster in it. Just don't sell it as Iron Giant Sea Monster. I mean, you know, Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. Okay, fine. Abe Lincoln Vampire Killer. Okay, fine. Those are not... If you can find one that has the right balance of cute and kitsch, then sure, okay, fine. I mean, clearly there are books that have succeeded, and there will continue to be books that succeed. It's just that, particularly for new writers, particularly for somebody who doesn't have an audience, think of somebody who's trying to build an audience. That's a tough sell. That's a very tough sell. I'm not sure it's a good use of time. The reality is you can't really say Well, if somebody should write, you should only... They're going to write whatever they want to write. The question is, how do we balance what we want to write against the expectation of, oh, we're going to be able to sell a million copies and retire? Oh, elder progeny. Have a good day at work.
You too.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, off to work. So I've been trying to put together, speaking of writers are going to write what they want to write, I've been trying to get together a kind of a high-level overview of the writer and in relation to publishing, what the job is, what the career looks like. How do we help people, for example, transition from the perception that they are the romantic version of a starving artist in their garret, slaving away for 20 minutes a day after the kids have gone to bed to try to put together the book that will free them from their wage slave life. And the reality is, and it goes back to rather an idealized version, an idealized view of what writing is. One of the problems, one of the ongoing difficulties, and there's been a lot of people talk about it in the past. I know Chris Rush talks about it quite a lot. Writing is a business. Art is a business. Art in general is a business. If art isn't a business, it's a hobby. So as long as you're willing to invest time, energy, and money into it, without any expectation of return, that's fine. That's a perfectly valid endeavor. I think a lot of people do that. Anyway, I know I did it for years. It's like, I have no expectation that any of this is going to pay off. I'm just going to do it for the fun of it, for the love of it. And I did. And it was good, and I enjoyed it. But then comes a point where you put it out there. You sell it, for lack of a better term. There's a lot of stuff that I wrote that wasn't really for public consumption. It was for a specific market. It was an essay for my classes. It was a journal article for tenure purposes. Not that I was ever in any kind of tenure position slot, but just having that research base behind me. So, yeah, I did a lot of writing before I tried to sell anything, and it was basically hobbyist level stuff. Well, that's fine. I think that's a good way to start, actually. But when we start putting it up on... Good morning. We start putting it up on potty books, we start taking donations, we start putting ebooks and paperbacks together, and we start putting them out for for people to buy and read. Then it ceases to be quite such a hobby. There's a certain business aspect that needs to be admitted. It needs to be allowed for. Artistship. An understanding that, for example, novellas don't sell as well as novels. And series, while there is a market for series, it's a small niche. the largest form of any fiction is a novel. The largest market is for novels. You can charge more for novels. I know there are a lot of people who think that I'm crazy with my pricing scheme, but I, you know, it's like, okay, fine. It's my pricing scheme. But understanding what the market might be, that if you're going to write science fiction, you're not going to reach as many readers as if you wrote romance. If you write horror, you're not going to reach as many people as if you write science fiction, and so on. It's an interesting question. It's an idea that I think I need to bring into the masterclass, because I think it's part and parcel of becoming a master writer. At any rate, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.